Would you take a moment to look to the person beside you and say, thank you for being one with me today. Yes, we are here to celebrate communion, to celebrate the gift of being one. As the scripture says in the New Century Version, Father, I pray that they can be one. Who is Jesus talking about? Who is they? If you look in chapter 17, there is three divisions of John 17, three divisions. Jesus prayed for himself, he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all of us. Even when he's praying for his disciples, even when he's praying for himself, you realize that it's all about us. So as you read this afternoon, because you're going to be occupied with some things from the Word instead of being preoccupied with something else, this afternoon you can go over this entire chapter 17. If you have a children, if you have a spouse, sit down together, pray, and go over the chapter. I think it's going to be a good practice for the Sabbath afternoon. All right? So that your mind continue in a proper place. Today's message, we entitle, The Gift of Communion. Everybody knows, we have mentioned this quite a few times, about what you find the one right in the middle of the word communion. You and I. It is actually means one. You find that in the word unity, you find the community. That word is the center, is what holds everything together, is the you and I. Now, we said that this is a gift. So let's talk about the gift. A gift from above. So what is the gift? Notice that I put a little dot separating the letters. Why? Because I want you to, every time that you think about communion, you think about as a gift from God. So let's put this together. Godly, that's mean you. Individuals, yes. Fellowship, together. That is communion. Only the godly individuals have fellowship together. And that's where the gift of communion is, the fellowship as individuals that we choose to be together. As the first hymn that we were singing together, it talks about this. But let's talk about the G in gift. Of course, is God who sustains everything and creates everything. Then also goodness. It's not possible for us to have communion if there is no goodness in us. Also grace. No, there is, since sin came to this world, there is no way that we can restore communion without grace and gratitude. We chose only four. We could choose many more. But I want you to realize that every single element of a gift is an element of communion. So look at those qualities. You have to have God in your heart to have communion, goodness, grace, and gratitude. Then for the next one, which is I, of course, we already shared with you, individual. Why did I put individual? Because each one of us, we are unique. We are a gift of God in ourselves. Even after when we are restored into perfection, we're never going to lose our individuality. What makes us unique, what makes us one. And then, of course, image. Why image, Pastor? If you go to Genesis chapter 1, when God is talking about making us, the key word of there is image. Many people do not understand what an image is. They think that an image is to look alike. In a book of Genesis, image, it means likeness, means to be one with. And so the image that God gave us, shared with us, is so that we can be one with him. Without him, we could not be at all. Intellect, it is also part of the image, the process. Without intellect, there is no likeness. There is no purpose. There is no life. So God gave us the ability to choose. So when we choose God, it's not because God imposed himself on us, it's because we invite him as part of our lives. And that is only possible to the intellect. The intellect is also the element in us that allow us to need each other and fellowship with each other. There is no possible that without intellect we'll be able to do. Inspiration is when the intellect is under the guidance of the Almighty. That's what I call inspiration. It's when the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. And so we become an image of God. We are one with God. And as you notice, for the F, we already said fellowship. Fellowship includes many of the relationships that we have. Faithfulness, of course. Without faithfulness, we cannot have fellowship with God. Friendship. Friendship also includes family, people that are close, you know, close to us. And of course, there is no communion unless there is forgiveness. It is forgiveness that makes grace, grace that makes forgiveness relevant in our lives. Then, of course, the T. The T is togetherness, truthfulness, trust, and thoughtfulness. Without those, there is no possibility of communion. No one can have communion. No one can have true unity unless you have all those elements. You notice that we present to you four groups of four. Now, this gift that comes from God, it is one. All that he wants to for us is to be one, because only when we are one with him, we are. If we separate from God, we cease to be. And that's what I kept putting very clear there, so you always think, one is you and I. Is God saying, the one has to be you and I. You and I. And that's what forms communion. Now, here is Jesus Christ, part of the prayer that Jesus Christ made especially for his disciples, and he's talking about his disciples and us too. So Jesus says this, I pray that they may all be one. All to be part of the body of Christ. And then it says, may they be in us. Usually when we talk about God, we talk about God in us. But in this case, it says, we in him as he is in us. And it says, just as you are in me, and I am in you. So the purpose here is everything, everyone to be part of the same, may be one. And then it says, so that the world will believe that you sent me. Sometimes we read this, we don't think about that what God is talking about here is the character. It's not that we cease to be an individual, and when we are part of the community, we cease to have our own identity. No, it says when we share the same values, the same principles, we become one. Because there is no two ways to be. There is only one God, and there is only one will, and that's his will. I give them the same glory. Here's glory has to do with character. I give them the same glory, the same teachings, how to be, that you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. There is no other option. Continue. Jesus Christ said, in them, and you in me, they may be completely one. Some other version says, a perfect one. I like that version. It says a perfect unity. And it says, in order that the world may know that you sent me. How many of us sometimes we are one thing in a church, another thing when we are in a different circumstance. And what happens is that we cannot cease to be one or choose to be one in church and then someone else outside of the church. We have to be one in God all the time at the same. This is verse 23. Now verse 24, the last one that we'll share for this prayer. It says this, Father, you have given them to me. It's talking about you and us. It's talking about the disciples. It's talking about every believer. It says, Father, you have given them to me. How is when Jesus Christ came and redeemed all of us. Just like the song that the young ladies were singing here, very appropriate for this occasion. It says, Father, you have given them to me. And I want them to be with me where I am. Where is Jesus now? There's two answers. There's two possible answers. I heard one already. Somebody says he's in heaven. Remember when it says, I want them to be one with me so that they may be in me as I am in you. So where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus now? Right here. Whatever you go, because that's what it means to be a Christian, is to have Christ in you. And so whatever you do, you reflect that oneness with Christ. And that's the whole purpose of what Jesus Christ says about communion. So they may see my glory, so they can see my teachings, my character, the principles, eternal principles that I came to teach. The glory you gave me, for you loved me before the world was even made. Communion. Brothers and sisters, Paul says this, and before I put the words, I always like for you to know that when we make those graphics, we try to send a message even before you read the words. So don't ignore the graphics, because they are trying there to teach you something too. What do you see in this graphic? You see God guiding. Paul writes, but it's from God. Who is the directing Paul? He says, what? How many lords are there? Many people think that they are the lords. I want this. I want that. I. Do you know why idolatry starts with I? That is a good hint, isn't it? Idolatry. Yes, imperfection. It's all the I is there. Very, very clear. There is only one Lord. And when you have that Lord as Lord of your life, then you become one with God. Then you have communion. Communion is not just this act of taking the two elements here plus the foot washing. That's not all communion. This is just a symbolism of a life in oneness with God. So there is one Lord, one faith. If you go around, especially United States, there are more than 30,000 groups that call themselves Christians. Everybody walking in a different direction, everyone shaping their own God, their own opinion. One baptism. Do you know if you search, do a research, at this time there is more, in the United States alone, there's more than 14 different types of baptism they call baptisms. I have given Bible studies to people, and when I said, this is prepared for baptism, oh no, I have been baptized. I even have an occasion when I was a pastor of Claremont, that there was a person up there that was attending the church for more than 6 years. And she was returned tithe and participating in all activities. So I went to look into the membership. I didn't see her name. So I approached her to talk to her. And she spoke Portuguese. And so I was talking to her. And I found out that I said, Sister, are you a member? She said, oh yes, for 6 years. And I said, but I didn't see your name in the membership. Have you been baptized? Oh yes, I have been baptized. So I said, something's wrong. Maybe the clerk did something. Nothing against the clerks. Maybe the clerk didn't put. So I did a little investigation. I realized when she said she has been baptized, was the Catholic baptism, what they call baptism, which is not baptism, but they call baptism. It's a child dedication. And so we have to study with her, go over the doctrines, and she had a beautiful baptism, a real baptism. And so one baptism, one God, one Father of all. By the way, the one who dresses in white and lives in the Vatican, that is not a father. Or those that are dressed in black and everything else and has a little thing here, no father, because Jesus Christ, he says, don't call them father. Don't. There is only one Father, and that is the one who is Father of all of us, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Ephesians 4, verse 5 and 6. That's what communion is all about. And another one, brothers and sisters. For there is one God, one mediator. And I'm not here to try to bring down any faith or anything else, but if you look around, there are people that are telling you, pray for this individual, pray for that, pray for this. You don't pray for angels, you don't pray for anything created. It doesn't matter if the person is on the grave or somebody assumed that the person is somewhere. We don't pray for anybody but God. Do you understand what that means? Only God can hear your prayers. Nobody else can. So don't pray. And if you know somebody who prays for some, show them this verse. There is only one mediator between God and man and mankind. The man, Christ Jesus, who came and gave his life in our behalf. There is, the message, there is one gift from God, and that is one. The ability to become one. God opened that door when he created us, and he opened that door again when he redeemed us on the cross. And that's what we're celebrating today. We are celebrating the gift of one, to become one, to be with him. Today we celebrate, we are asked to remember what has been done in our behalf that made us possible to be one. Today, we also, some people call communion to take the bread and the grape juice, the new wine. Some people skip the foot washing. It's just like somebody is saying, I want to be a member of the church, but I don't want a baptism. Everyone that comes to life comes through the waters. Everybody who comes to communion comes through the water. The earth came through the water to existence. Everything comes through the water. And so we go first to the water, and then we come to partake of the bread that is God sustains us, and the wine symbolizes the life that he gave to us and sustained in us. So we must participate, because there is no communion unless we participate. You and I. Christ's invitation goes like this. When he had finished washing their feet, the disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. And he's asking the same thing for us. Do you understand the meaning of this, of the foot washing? Do you understand why you must do this? John chapter 13, verse 12. Now, verse 13, it says, you call me teacher and Lord. And remember that says, there is only one Lord. And right so, for that's what I am. Next verse 14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Sadly, I know one congregation that during the communion, Some people were leaving the church because they didn't want to be participating in a foot washing. They only wanted to take the bread and the wine. So the pastor made a decision. He decided that now we're going to celebrate the communion first and foot washing later. And you notice that the foot washing was a problem, became even worse because from the pulpit, the pastor gave them the impression there was two optional ceremonies instead of one. Brothers and sisters, I emphasize this all the time. Foot washing is communion. It is essential part of the communion. If for some reason you have some medical situation or have some situation that you needed for us to accommodate, we will do that. But please, don't give up half of the communion and think that you have the whole communion. Because communion is the three elements, okay? Christ continue. I have set you an example. And then he says, that you should do. It's not optional. As I have done for you. I have done this for you. Why can't you do it for me? We got the easy end of the whole bargain. He went to the cross on our behalf. He did everything that we were supposed to do. He paid the price that we were supposed to pay. So Christ's invitation continues, verse 16. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And then verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now let's reverse, just for the sake of understanding. What will be the opposite? You'll be blessed if you do them. Are you going to deny yourself a blessing for participating? I hope not. I hope that you participate. Remember what Jesus Christ dialogue with Peter? Peter says, no, you are my Lord, you're the master. You don't supposed to washing, you know, that's a servant's job, that's for us, not for you. And Jesus said this, a person who has been baptized needs only to wash his feet. And then he said to Peter, and he's saying to you, and he said to me, he said to all of us, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. What wash means here? Two things. If you are baptized, that wash means baptism. If you have been baptized, that wash means foot washing. So he says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Let me translate that in a different way. Unless I wash you, unless you participate with me, I have no communion with you. If you want to be one, this is opportunity for you. Let's at this time stand. The men, the women is going to go to this room, overflow room here. The men goes to the kinder, and the couples go to the cradle row. Okay? So at this time, with all proper reverence, let's stand and move to those areas. If you choose to stay in a sanctuary, please remember, reverence is necessary. This is the Lord's house. Here's not a place for you to start talking. If you want to talk, I will ask you please to step outside. Okay, but let's show the proper reverence. This is the Lord's house. Thank you so much.